This is a HeadGum Original.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We are the dwarves of Erebor. We have come to reclaim our homeland.
I offer you my help.
How do we know you won't betray us? We don't.
There is no king under the mountain, nor will there ever be.
It will not end here. With every victory, this evil will grow.
Legolas has grown very fond of you. Do not give him hope where there is none.
You have no right to enter that mountain.
I have the only right.
We've been blind. In our blindness, our enemy has returned.
Found something in the goblin tunnels.
What did you find?
My courage.
Good. You'll need it.
Dragonfire and ruin.
That is what you will bring upon us. He cannot see beyond his own desire.
I will not risk this quest for the life of one burglar.
His name is Bilbo.
Well, thief, where are you? Come now, don't be shy. Step into the light.
Wow. So, this is the sixth episode of our second
season. We're already
season.
Six in. I'm actually feeling pretty good about that.
You know, six is almost 10. 10 is halfway.
We're almost done.
These movies,
do you have a designated number that you're trying to hit for this season?
20 episodes.
20. Oh, yes. Okay.
I feel pretty good about this. So anyone out there who doesn't know, we're working our way through Lord of the Rings for the first time with the help of super fans and nerds, and sometimes even people who've contributed to the movies. I don't even want to say nerds because I'm starting to feel like we're a part of this community now, and
yes.
I don't identify.
It feels like we're the nerds for not inherently loving this.
I agree. So we started with the Lord of the Rings trilogy that came out throughout the 2000s, but we're now watching all of the Hobbit movies. We did some fan fiction, which was really fun.
We're going to check out spinoffs.
We're going to do the animated version, so stop tweeting and asking if we're going to do that. and today we're talking about The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug. Now, this is available to rent on Amazon Prime for $2.99, and you can get it on DirecTV and Sling. And yeah, so, I mean, right off the bat, Nicole, just quick thoughts.
Who is Smaug? I didn't know who Smaug was.
Yeah.
So much happened that I was so confused.
It's such a long movie, and there's
so
a
long.
Point where you're like, let's get to the desolation part.
Yes, and let's get to Smaug.
So yeah, we're going to talk about this today. The movies we've reviewed, I mean, if you want to watch them all, The Fellowship of the Ring, The Two Towers, The Return of the King, The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey, and The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug. If you care about watching things before hearing us ruin them for you. You should do that. But that's about 20 hours right there.
Yeah, it's a lot of time you're going to have to spend consuming content to consume content.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. Shall we introduce our guest?
We shall. We're so excited for our guest today, Karen Hahn. Karen is a New York City-based writer whose work has appeared in The New York Times, The Atlantic, Vanity Fair, Slate, Vice, New York Magazine, and she's currently an entertainment reporter at Polygon. Welcome, Karen. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to talk about the second Hobbit movie with you.
So wait, okay, Karen, you're a fan of Lord of the Rings?
I'm a total freak for this stuff. Yeah.
Okay, okay.
Are you a freak for The Hobbit? Because a lot of people that I've spoken to who are real ring heads are not Hobbit heads.
I would say I'm a bigger fan of the books, the book singular. My mom read it to me when I was growing up. I do remember when we went to go see the first movie together because we had sentimental attachment to it. As soon as the dwarf started singing, she just turned to me in the theater. She was like, I sang it to you just like that.
Wow, that's cute.
I don't remember if that's true. I like them. I feel like every time that I watch them, I'm like, oh no, they are good. But every time I step away, I'm like, is my passion for them justified? So we'll get into that.
You keep saying every time. How many times have you watched The Hobbit, Desolation of the Smaug?
Smaug.
Desolation of Smaug. I think this every time is maybe an exaggeration. This is maybe the third time I've watched it, I would say.
That's a lot.
It's literally too much, arguably. Two more times than I'm going to watch it.
But see, I think we have the opposite thing where we hate it while we're watching it, but then we talk about it and like it. So it's like we kind of get convinced. And I liked the first Hobbit movie. And as far as like all the movies we watched go, I guess I thought it was fantastic comparatively because I was like
on a sliding scale.
I was like really into it. So I wasn't too scared to watch this one, but it was a bit more boring than the first
one. Yes. But also I liked this one better than the first one.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yeah. And I think it's because I was like, great, we have these characters established. There's so many of these dwarves that look wild. I'm on board. We're going to put them in a barrel and throw them in the water.
I like
great.
That part.
I'm on board for
the water
that.
Sequence rules.
Yeah. That was fun.
I just was like, when Legoland, Leganos, Lego, I was calling him Legoland. His name is Leganos.
Legolas.
Legolas. When he came back and had more lines, I was like, whoa, what? He didn't speak at all in the first. He spoke maybe three times in the first three movies. So I was like, why does he go from talking now to never talking again? It's also confusing to think that there's like that this happened before The Lord of the Rings and everybody looks older in the prequel than they do in the sequel. And then also there's two black faces in it. So here's my question. Where have all the black people gone?
It's a great question.
Disarming.
Yeah. I feel confused too about it being before. I only remember that in certain moments. Like when you see that Bilbo has the ring, I'm like, oh yeah, he's going to be that old guy. But I feel like I have to do a lot of work mentally to make that make sense for myself.
Mm-hmm.
But see, this is like the thing. Here's a question I have about like fantasy movies in general. And Star Wars like fits into this category. What is with telling things out of order? Like, what is the pleasure?
I second that question. Why?
I mean, I think it's just because The Lord of the Rings made money. Because The Hobbit did chronologically come before The Lord of the Rings in terms of when they were published. But I feel like in terms of what's interesting to a mainstream audience, I feel like they were like, The Lord of the Rings will work. Because that's like big fantasy epic. Even though it was still kind of a gamble and insane that people did like it as much as they did, but then it made a whole bunch of money and it actually won Oscars, which is unprecedented. And then they were like, I feel like we can do that again and make more money off of it. Because this also was only supposed to be two movies, and then they're like, no, make three.
That does feel grubby.
It does feel grubby. And I think that The Hobbit, because I'm not sure what actually happened in this movie. I did enjoy it, but I was like, did it move forward? I don't think so. It feels like we're
not
right
really.
Back at the end of the first Hobbit. But then I was like, why wasn't The Lord of the Rings 6 or 7 or 8 movies? It seemed like they had a lot of story right. they wanted to show. So why not make those 6 movies or something like that? Also, like, break it the fuck up. Give me a movie that's under 2 hours.
Yeah. I would kill for one of these to be short.
Right?
At this point. Now, Karen, where does this one rank for you with The Lord of the Rings and, like, the other Hobbit movie? Or the third one?
All 3 Lord of the Rings definitely come first. They are the mm-hmm. highest ranked for me. I think in terms of the Hobbit movies, from best to worst, I would say 1, 2, 3, just because...
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, this one, they're all fun, but number 2 is like the Dead Man's Chest of the Hobbit trilogy, where it's just like, it's fun, but it's just filler.
It figures that that's the one I like the best.
I'm glad you liked one.
Yeah, I was really on board. I had so many questions. It was hard. Because the nice man who lives with me does not like the Hobbit movies and is pretty disparaging about the Hobbit movies. Aww. So I would ask questions and he'd be like, I don't fucking know. This movie's terrible. And then John doesn't know very much. So I was truly just like on my own being like, the fuck? And then I read the synopsis on Wikipedia and I was like, I don't know if I saw any of this. It was just so many words that I didn't recognize. It's tough. These movies, they make it hard.
Wait, I do want to know why Dead Man's Chest is your favorite parts of the Caribbean movie.
I don't know, because I thought it was good. That's the second one, right? I thought it was fun. It was a fun romp back on the ship with with what's his name? Lieutenant. I want to say Lieutenant Dan, but I know it's not. Jack Sparrow.
By a side note, I'm watching this series on Disney Plus called, like, The Imagineers. Have you seen this?
No. What is
that? And it's all about how they created Disney, how Walt Disney created Disneyland, and then, like, how it's progressed through the years and how they've updated it and all the people who've worked on it who are called Imagineers and all of their amazing, like, creations over the years. And I thought of it because there was a whole section about Pirates of the Caribbean, but it's really fascinating. If anyone cares about Disneyland at all, it's a really fun watch.
I don't love being in Disneyland, but I love the idea of Disney. And then I've been watching a lot of Pixar shorts and they're just so delightful.
Those really are.
Your job is to just make tiny little delightful things. There's one where this gay man turns into a dog and his mom knew the whole time and he didn't have to keep it from her. And I sobbed.
Oh, a gay man turned into a dog?
I didn't describe that well at all.
And then his mom knew what the whole time that he was gay?
Fully described that so poorly. So yeah. So this guy has a boyfriend and he like wants to tell his family about his boyfriend. His boyfriend wants him to tell his family. And he's like, no, I can't get out. My parents are coming over for dinner. So then he like looks at his dog and he's like, man, I wish I was a dog where like I didn't have to worry about telling anybody anything. Mm-hmm. And then shroop, he like switches bodies with the dog. And then he like hit the dog as a human, very funny, just like walking around with his tongue out. And then he's trying to like hide this picture of like him and his boyfriend. And then the dog like ruins something. And then the mom starts crying and she's like, I wish my son would just tell me what's going on. I don't care who he loves. And when she said that, I was like, boo hoo hoo. I love this.
That's so really sweet.
I'll watch that documentary. That was a very long route to me saying, Lauren, thank you for the recommendation.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I think some of the episodes, like there's like 6 episodes and they get a little bit boring at certain points, but the beginning is really fascinating because it's all about how Walt Disney like had this dream and like brought it to life and just how he was this boss who would be like, well, you should make that a clock. And then they'd be like, and that changed everything for me. Like, you know, they just like loved him and admired him. And then he dies and it's like really hard for everyone to go on. And then they do. And it's just, ugh, there's just so much. Highly recommend. Anyway, what are we talking about?
we're talking about Return of the Smaug. Or no, okay. Desolation of the Smaug.
Desolation of Smaug, yeah.
So, yeah, I feel like I was excited to see Smaug because in the end of the one we just watched, you see him at the end in the pile of gold. And that was like one of my favorite parts. And it took a long time to get there. And
such
I
a
feel
long
like,
time.
Yeah.
You know, like it was kind of like, I want to start there. He in the first movie, he's waking up. And I liked that. I feel like there's something exciting, but like you don't even see him until then, right? In the second one.
Correct. Yeah. It's like a whole other. So the first movie ends and then the second movie does not pick up where it left off. And if the third movie doesn't, I'm going to be livid because it's a cliffhanger. If it doesn't pick up right at that scene, I will lose my goddamn mind.
I also don't think I could handle it if I was like a fan and I went to the movies. I guess you're prepared for it a little bit, but then how it just ends like to be continued, I'd be like, fuck, like at least wrap it up like here somehow. Yes. And then I'll still be excited next year. But like having to wait a year.
Yeah. Karen, was that frustrating as a fan that you like there was this clip? Well, you read the books, so.
It's frustrating, I think, just because kind of as we've discussed, like so little happens in this movie. Like they spend half the time kind of getting from the end of the first movie to what the main action of this movie is. And it's like you just like Google Maps to cross this place. And like that should only take like 10 minutes, but it's taken about an hour and a half to get to this dragon. I mean, I'll say like Dead Man's Chest wraps up. This movie does not.
It sure doesn't. Also, you very recently tweeted the Virgin Thorin Oakshy Shield versus the Chad Aragon. What? I don't.
We need
help. I have no idea what this means. But two, do you agree with one of the replies you received stating a lot to unpack here? And I agree with the statement, but like for different reasons. I have no idea what these words mean together.
Yeah, I feel confused. The Virgin Thorin Oakenshield versus the Chad Aragorn.
Because I thought Aragorn was Viggo
Mortensen.
And it's not?
No, it is. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Tell us more.
Yes. Explain this tweet.
I will say I was listening to other episodes prior to coming on, and I did enjoy that part of what's built into the podcast format is we roast guests for their own terrible tweets.
We are not roasting you. We truly want to understand what it means.
Like, Lauren's because
it got a ton of likes, and I want to know what it means. Wait,
Lauren,
what?
Your husband sent me a meme, a Lord of the Rings meme. It was like, do you understand this? Lauren doesn't. And I was like, no, I want to understand. And then he never responded. Oh, I can show you and you can explain it. It's this.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't get that. Okay, so it's Saruman. And then there's a girl who is working at a pizza place or something. And there's a dust print hand.
I do like that. It's from the Lord of the Rings memes Reddit.
Her butt has a dust print of a hand on her butt, and it says,
she bears the mark. Yeah, and a picture of Saruman, because his whole thing is he brands the Uruk-hai that he makes with the white handprint to show that they serve him.
Oh. I would have never gotten that. That's okay. Fair. Okay.
So please tell us about the tweet.
Please.
I feel like I really only have about a 70% understanding of the meme format that I'm appropriating. Okay. But it's basically the Virgin X versus the Chad Y. The Virgin being like someone who's a huge nerd and not going to get laid. The Chad being like a jock who's like very strong and handsome and sexy and attractive.
Oh, I haven't heard of this.
And in this instance, Thorin is the Virgin because they tried to make him look like a tall, hot man instead of just making him look like a dwarf. And Aragorn is the Chad because he is a normal man and very handsome.
Ah, I see.
There's this new thing I learned, by the way. So your tweet makes me think that there's like a lot of... you know, I feel like I'm very online, but there's still a lot of stuff that I don't get. And I just learned, my friend Lauren Ashley Smith posted this TikTok that was basically saying, we as millennials need to stop using the cry or the laugh emoji for laughing, where it's like laughing tears.
Oh.
Gen Xers, or no, not Gen Xers. What's below us? Gen Zers?
Yeah.
They say that's like not cool and you can't do that anymore. So you now have to use the cry emoji, that's pure tears, or the dead skeleton emoji. That's how you laugh now.
That's what I've been using.
Good job. You're very hip.
Oh my God. So
why is it problematic?
I don't know, but she texted her cousin and who's like in that age demographic, and she was like, literally never use that. Like it was just like you are. And also they said in the TikTok to stop taking pictures from above.
Oh, like the MySpace angle?
Yeah. No one can stop me from doing that.
It's the best angle.
Well, I like do it slightly, but I stopped doing it a lot because I was like, what if you don't see my second chin? And then in something else, you see my second chin, and then you go, why do her chins come and go? The wildest thought to have. Like, I don't think anyone's thinking about my chins. But, no. You know, I just have a lot of time to think now.
You want
to
be honest with your selfie angle.
I do. Like,
yeah.
I really do. Should we read our Shire Wire?
Let's read our Shire Wire. This is our nude segment. Now, some recent news has been released about the Amazon Lord of the Rings TV series. So here's what we know now. There's still no release date beyond a 2021 expectation. Our news is we don't know anything.
It's so funny that the news is, we don't know.
No updates. But shooting is back underway in New Zealand after the coronavirus delay caused back in March. And Amazon has announced shooting will break for 4 or 5 months after the first two episodes are filmed to see what's working.
To see
what?
Well, okay.
Why is this franchise so improvised?
I don't know. It's so wild. So Amazon has made a multi-season commitment that includes potential spin-off series.
Oh, God. Oh, we could be in this for the long haul.
Maybe they'll read or listen to the fanfiction episode, and the spin-off will be about Darkwyn, the black elf.
I love that. They need
I mean,
her.
I will say they love when people are nerdy about it. Like, Stephen Colbert, known Lord of the Rings freak, is in Desolation of Smaug.
Which, yes, Mike pointed that out to me. He has no lines. He's just there in one moment. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was pretty cool.
Fully missed it.
Yeah, he doesn't look like himself at all.
Mm. Yeah.
And Amazon has revealed that the series will be set during the 3,441-year period before the events of the Fellowship of the Ring. In the J.R.R. Tolkien timeline, this is known as the Age of Numenor, or the Second Age. This means, unfortunately, that we probably won't see many of the characters from the original series in it, as they weren't around during this time. Bold move.
Bold, but also exciting for me, because The Hobbit had black people. So that means if there are no black people, I get to be like, no.
Yeah. No.
Because there were some in The Hobbit.
You've established that they were there. Yes.
They were there before. So give them to me.
I'm pretty sure they explicitly were like, we will cast people of color this time. We're sorry.
Good.
Yeah.
That has been a big, like, obvious thing about these movies.
It's like glaring. Jesus. It's okay. So wild.
Yeah. It's a huge thing when I discuss why I like them. I'm like, I pretend I do not see it. Like, what?
Yeah. It feels like something that you have to just, like, ignore in order to, like, fully get into the fantasy world.
It is interesting, though, because I'm like, sure, yeah, you can like it, but also I think it's okay to point out that it's lacking.
For sure.
And they're fixing it, which is good.
No, this is good. So your boyfriend is not into the Lord of the Rings you mentioned to me when we were off mic. And I'm curious how that affects your dating. Like, when you go into a relationship with somebody and they're like, I don't like that thing that you're like really into. Is that annoying to you? Or are you like, whatever, it's fine?
It's not, it's mostly fine. Like, I feel like that meme pops up on Twitter a lot where it's like, what movie's a deal breaker if they haven't seen it? And it's like, I can't imagine a world in which like that would be the parameter I set on who I do or don't date. But I do remember when we started dating, we were talking about like our favorite things, just because that's a normal like icebreaker conversation. And I was like, oh, I love the Lord of the Rings. And he was like, oh, I don't really care about those movies. And I was like, excuse me. But the pact now has basically been he will watch all 3 Lord of the Rings movies if I watch all 3 High School Musical movies, which I have not seen.
Oh, my God. That's fun.
That we have not done that yet, but we have watched all 3 Lord of the Rings movies. And he did cry during The Return of the King. So I was like, OK.
Hey. That's fun.
At what part?
At the very end.
Which end?
When like the hobbits are saying goodbye to each other. The fellowship is breaking.
That's cute. Yeah.
While he was watching this with me, I was sort of going like, oh, wow, I like the Easter eggs that I'd forgotten that tie back to like some of the Silmarillion book stuff. And he was like, you're too much of a nerd. Like, this is too much. You have to stop telling me the trivia.
My husband has read all the books and stuff, too. So I'm basically the same. He's excited that I'm watching all of this, but it's also hard for him when I get stuff really wrong, even after seeing it. He's like, you didn't pay attention.
Does he also not like the Hobbit movies?
He doesn't like them that much. But I feel like I can't stress enough that my paying attention still doesn't mean that I know what's going on.
Same. I fully, like, yeah, I like would watch it for stretches at a time. Asked John a question, he'd be like, you were watching it. And I was like, I know.
I will be staring at the TV thinking of nothing else and still be like, I hope I know what I'm talking about on the podcast tomorrow. Like, I just have no idea.
It's hard.
You want to take a quick break, Nicole?
Let's take a break.
Okay, we'll come right back with a lot more. Oh, a lot more.
Remember in 2018 when border control separated thousands of refugee kids from their parents and deported the parents back to their home countries while keeping the kids in the United States? Well, believe it or not, 6 years later, there are hundreds of families who still have not been reunified. Although we as a community may feel hopeless at times, I recently learned about an organization called Al Otro Lado, which works to reunify families. They provide holistic legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the U.S. and Tijuana through a multidisciplinary, client-centered, harm-reduction-based practice. Since 2018, they've reunified over 100 refugee families ripped apart by Trump's zero-tolerance policy. Once reunited, Al Otro Lado helps each family to find legal representation, housing, and counseling that they need in order to heal and get on their feet. Imagine having your child ripped from your arms and never knowing when you'd see them again. We can't let family separations go on. If you're like me and believe that families belong together, join me in supporting Al Otro Lado and donate today. You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode, or go to gum.fm/charity to donate today. You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in-person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website at alotrolado.org/volunteer. altrolado.org/volunteer.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. My social battery right now, where would I put it? Ooh, I mean, I'm kind of looking to connect with friends. I'm also looking to retreat a little bit and be by myself. It's hard to know exactly what you need at any given time. And it can be so easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up so much. After the winter, the spring is here. Well, what's the right amount of socializing for you and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I started therapy when I was about 30, and it was so, so helpful for me for learning about myself, learning about boundaries, learning about my relationships with other people, and how to deal with other people. There's so many things you can benefit from therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. So just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/newcomers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/newcomers.
We're back!
We are back. Oh my God. Okay, so this was directed by Peter Jackson.
Yes, released in December 2013.
And this is the second installment in a three-part film adaptation based on Tolkien's 1937 novel, The Hobbit, as we said. And it was preceded by An Unexpected Journey and followed by The Battle of Five Armies, which is what I guess we're getting into next week. Mm-hmm. And together they operate as a prequel to Jackson's Lord of the Rings film trilogy.
The film follows the titular character Bilbo Baggins. This is so funny that I have all of the words. As he accompanies...
You always do! Oh my God.
Thorin Oakenshield and his fellow dwarves on a quest to claim the lonely mountain from the dragon Smaug. The film also features the vengeful pursuit of Azog the Defiler? Oh no, mm-hmm. And Bolg. Gandhi the Grey investigates a growing evil in the ruins of Dol Guldur.
Wow. Wow.
It, like, honestly, it makes the normal words so much harder to read.
No word looks normal after looking at those crazy names.
No, should we get into this summary?
Yeah.
All right.
Let's do it.
Wait, first, Karen, could you describe what happens in this movie in like a sentence?
They go to the Lonely Mountain and wake up the dragon.
That's honestly all it is, okay?
Yep.
And that could be, that's a fact. Nothing else happens. This movie could be 1 minute.
Yeah. That's so wild. Because I was like, so much happens, but like not enough. Do you know what I mean? Like, not enough happened for it to be a movie. Anyway, let's get into it. So yeah. Thorin and his company are being pursued by Azog and his orc army. Following the events of the previous film, they're ushered along by Gandhi to a nearby home of, Bjorn.
Mm-hmm. Baby Bjorn.
Yeah, baby Bjorn, a skin changer who can take the form of a bear. That night, Azog is summoned by Dalgard, by the necromancer, who commands him to marshal his forces of war. Azog then delegates the hunt for Thorin and his son, Blorg.
I thought the bear thing was cool.
I also thought the bear thing was cool, but then I was like, what's the point?
Mm-hmm. There was none.
Because then the bear guy was talking to the org, and then I was like, wait, whose side is he on? It was confusing.
I agree.
I will say, when I read the books as a child, I always pictured him as like the like brawny lumberjack and not as like a half fur man.
I know. I didn't expect him to have fur when he turned back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, we get it.
Yeah. Like, you're actually too much of a bear still.
Mm-hmm.
The following day, Bjorn escorts the company to the borders of Mirkwood, where Gandhi discovers black speech imprinted on an old ruin. This coincides with a telepathic message from Galadriel urging him to investigate the tombs of the Nazgûl. He warns the company to remain on the path and leaves them. Upon entering the forest, they lose their way and are ensnared by giant spiders. Ooh, that part was crazy.
It was fucking sick.
Disgusting.
It was really awful.
And Karen, you might not know this, but in my fan fiction, I had Frodo like fuck a spider. So I thought it was the same one.
They actually, in the most recent Lord of the Rings game, they like turned the big spider from the Lord of the Rings into a big lady.
Oh, everyone feels it then. I guess that tension was really there. Bilbo then sets about freeing the dwarves with the help of his recently acquired invisibility ring. He subsequently drops the ring and first begins to understand its dark influence after he brutally kills a creature to retrieve it.
But the thing about this for me was, so he climbs to the top of the trees, didn't tell anybody, tumbles down, the spiders, sick as hell, are just like getting at him, and then he was killing them. But then he like killed one to get the ring and saw the humanity lost. And I was like, but you were killing them anyway to survive. Mm-hmm. So like, I don't get, I don't think it's earned. I don't think it's the ring. I think you're being a real Looney Tune. There was spiders bigger than your whole life attacking you. Of course you would kill it.
Yeah.
I also feel like they got away with so much, like, kind of pretty terrible violence in this movie under the guise of it happens to spiders and orcs, like the spider who gets all his legs ripped off. I was like, no, thank you.
Karen, I screamed. I was so upset about that. I said, no, you cannot do that. That is wrong.
That's just cruel.
Well, that's an interesting point because I feel like in the first Hobbit, the violence was, like, funnier. Like, when that one guy got killed, and he was like, that'll do it. And then he, like, fell down. Like, that was, like, silly. And this didn't have that same energy.
No. Yeah. Lots of people getting shot straight through the head with arrows.
Right?
Yeah. Especially this, like, next part. So the remaining spiders are fended off by the wood elves led by Stanley Tucci, Tyrell.
Right?
And I was calling him Legoland before.
I think you should. I think that's his name.
Okay, so Legoland.
Yeah.
They also capture the dwarves, which I was like, why? And then they bring Thorin before their king, Thandruel, who is the gayest, slinkiest.
I have to see who that was.
I really loved him.
Oh, Lee Pace. Yes. Mm-hmm.
My God. He was just like, so like, like a pointy stiletto acrylic nail. That's what he is as a person. Like, just like,
I did love that they shot his intro like a jewelry ad, like a K's jewelry ad.
They did. And there's one scene where I guess it's Thorin. The shot is on Thorin, and Thorin is smaller than him, so he has to slide into frame. Yeah. And it made me laugh so hard. Oh. I rewound it 3 times. So Thorin confronts the Elven King about his neglect of the dwarves of Ebor following Smaug's attack 60 years earlier and is consequently imprisoned with the other dwarves. Biblo, having avoided capture, arranges an escape. Did I not say that right? Biblo?
No, I just love hearing it every time.
I like Biblo.
Yeah.
Oh, Bilbo.
No, I like Biblo.
Yeah, right. Biblo, cousin to Diplo, arranges an escape using empty wine barrels that are sent downstream. While they're pursued by wood elves, they're ambushed by Blorg and his orc party. And Killy is wounded with a Morug shaft. They engage and are running three-way battle down the river, but ultimately the dwarves are able to escape both groups of pursuers. Thandradol then seals his kingdom off when an orc capture reveals an evil entity has returned and is amassing his army in the south. But then Stanley Tucci decides to leave and assist the dwarves. Legoland goes after her. Meanwhile, Gandhi and Radagast go investigate the tombs of Nazgul, which they find to be empty. The dwarves going down the river in these barrels, I was like, what the fuck? Are we at like an amusement park? It was so wild.
It should be a theme park ride, but probably require a lot of insurance.
Have you seen that documentary Class Action Park?
I'm too scared to watch it.
It's scary, but it's also like funny. Like they walk this line with it that's kind of weird because it's like funny because they have like comedians talking about all the people who got hurt, but then like people really died and they talked to like people's family of people who died and it's like not funny anymore, but then like kind of ends funny and it's like, I'm not sure how I feel about this, but it does feel like a ride that would be there. Like just get in a barrel and just fly down this thing. Like,
yeah.
The person who made up the rides at that park just like drew a swirl on a piece of paper and was like, do this. Like it was insane.
Oh, wait. Before the like river adventure, who is the girl, Evangeline Lilly, what is her character's name?
Oh, Tauriel. Yeah.
Oh, that's
Stanley Tucci.
That's Stanley Tucci. So, was Stanley Tucci flirting with the Nick Jonas dwarf?
Yes, right? Because he almost shot her and then
they're
she was
both kind of flirting. Yeah.
Yeah, I was so confused about that because then Legoland was all like, ugh, dwarves are disgusting. And she's like, some of them are tall. And I was like, what the fuck is happening?
Right. She was like into them. Yes. Right?
Mm-hmm. It's weird. I mean, they very much shoehorned that in. She does not exist in the book. And they were they were like, we're going to put a woman in. And then they were like, everyone, don't worry. We're not going to make her romantic interest. And then they did do it.
Interesting. That's great.
I was excited about there being a woman because there are so few. But yeah, I didn't find the story for her particularly compelling.
Yeah, I was pretty bored by her and truly didn't understand why she was there.
Yeah, I feel like I didn't follow that at all. But I had a problem with that with a lot of the parts of the movie. So that was on her. Okay, so the company are smuggled into Askaroth by a bargeman named Bard. Thorin promises the master and the people of Lake Town a share of the mountain's treasure. It is then revealed that Bard is a descendant of the last ruler of Dale, Geryon, and possesses the last black arrow capable of killing Smaug. Keeley is forced to remain behind, tended to by Feely, Owen, and Beaufur, as the remaining company receive a grand farewell. Meanwhile, Gandalf travels south to the ruins of Dol Guldur, while Radagast leaves to warn Galadriel of their discovery at the tombs of Nazgul. Gandalf finds the ruins infested with orcs and is ambushed by Azog. The necromancer overpowers and defeats Gandalf and reveals himself as Sauron.
Isn't Sauron just like that hot flaming pussy? Or is Sauron... Yeah, okay. Because then
hot flaming pussy.
Yeah, like the flaming eye or whatever.
Right. Oh, okay. Yeah.
To me, it looks like a flaming pussy.
I follow. I thought he had a flaming pussy or
it would have changed
like
the story significantly.
Yeah, it truly would have been like, are you okay, dude?
Yeah. Is that a feature or a bug?
This whole part was really confusing because I was like, who is this man who looks very similar to Orlando Bloom when he doesn't have a blonde wig on? Why is he in a big boat? Why wouldn't they just let him in? Now they're coming up through the toilet. And then he's like, don't leave. And they're like, we're going to leave anyway. And then homeboy falls down the stairs. And then everyone's like, ha, we're here to kill. I was like, what the fuck is... I was so confused.
Now, is this after they already climb that tree? Like, why was that part not in here? Where they climb the tree and like look over the top and Bilbo like sees the sun to like find which way they have to go.
Yes, this is after that.
Yeah, I liked that part. I thought that was cool.
It's a really nice scene.
That's a nice scene, but then the spiders happen.
Oh, that was then. That, yeah.
Because he falls into the spiders. So it was like, don't you want to see something really nice? And you're like, yes. And they're like, ugh, here's spiders.
Yes.
It was, for me, it was not nice.
I mean, I feel like that's my thing about this whole movie, where there's scenes like him popping up over the trees where I'm like, oh, this is really nice. And then immediately there's at least like 20 minutes where I'm like, I either don't care or don't enjoy what's happening. And then they like go on the barrel ride. I'm like, this fucking rules. And then another 15 minutes pass before something else happens. So it's a very up-down experience.
It feels very male to write something that just kind of like... You like to have the guts or whatever to be like, this scene is 30 minutes long and nothing happens. Like, I just feel like I wouldn't be okay with that.
Yeah. I mean, it reminds me of Tyler Perry's movies, because the scenes go on for so long and like truly wild things will happen and nobody will acknowledge it. Oh, I think it's Why Did I Get Married? This woman breaks a bottle on a man's head at the dinner table. And everyone's like, well, I guess we had enough dinner. And I was like, wait, what? It's, like some like weird shit happens and it just goes on for so long.
I want to see every single one of those movies. I'm just going to put that out there.
So back to Lord of the Rings. Back to Return of Smaug. I don't know why I keep trying to call it Return of the Smaug.
It's a very third act Star Wars title. Yeah. Return of the King's there already, so why not, really?
You're right.
He is coming back, like, from out of the mountain.
Yeah. This should be the Return of Smaug.
And some people do say Smaug, and some people say Smaug.
Mm-hmm.
Karen, how do you say it?
Smaug.
Oh.
I say Smaug because I feel embarrassed when I say Smaug, but I feel like in the movies they say Smaug.
I feel fancy when I say Smaug.
Like pronouncing the Italian names on the Olive Garden menu.
Yes, it's like that chef, like Giada or whatever, where she's like mozzarella. And it's like, you can say mozzarella.
You can just say mozzarella. It's fine.
Yeah. We all know.
We know. Okay, let's see. Thorin and his remaining company reach the Lonely Mountain, where Bilbo discovers the hidden entrance. He is sent in to retrieve the Arkenstone, and while doing so, he accidentally awakens Smaug. While trying to find Bilbo, Smaug reveals his knowledge of Sauron's return. Back in Lake Town, Bard attempts to bring the Black Arrow to the town's launcher as he fears what may happen when the dwarves enter the mountain. However, he is arrested in the process and leaves his son to hide the arrow. Bolg and his orc party then infiltrate the town and attack the four dwarves, but are quickly dispatched following the arrival of Toriel and Legoland. Toriel then tends to Keeley, and while Keeley is recovering, he openly admires Toriel's beauty and wonders if she loves him. Legoland leaves in pursuit of Bolg. Meanwhile, Gandalf watches helplessly as Azog and an orc army march from Dol Guldur towards the Lonely Mountain.
This whole part for me was so messy. I found it really hard to like follow, and I made it a point this movie to sit and like watch it. And I would be watching it and I'd be like, wait, what? And then I would rewind it and be like, that didn't clear up anything. I was very confused.
I mean, the town is just boring.
Maybe that's what it was. And I was like, I don't get why we're here.
Don't you like how the town looks?
It looked so cool. Fun, but like nothing really happened. And then also with Keeley wondering if Torelli is going to love him or whatever. Mm-hmm. Nothing happens, though.
They don't get together.
No.
Right? Like nothing.
Do they get together in the third one, Karen?
Almost. I'm pretty sure he dies.
Oh no. Like we care.
And here's the funny thing. I was just about to be like,
both of you roll your eyes as he said, oh no.
I have no attachments to him. Like
I don't either. I don't have
any attachment to anybody. Yeah. I almost have attachments to Bilbo, but like I don't, you know? I want to.
If I had to pick someone, it's Bilbo or it's Ori, the one who Jimmy Fowley posts on his Instagram all the time. There's this one.
What?
The character Ori, do you know which one that is? Okay.
I think so,
Jimmy Fowley, who's a comedian, we mentioned this before, but he he kind of looks like that character,
looks
honestly.
Exactly like this character. like ver
and like beta. That's a man in prosthetics, but yes, if you put that wig on Jimmy, it would be like perfect. And he posted that like every day for like months, and people were getting so annoyed. He just kept posting that picture and being like, this is me.
And I loved it. I bought the merch. I had the shirt before I realized it was from Lord of the Rings, which is just so silly.
It's so funny. But he's kind of my favorite because I feel so familiar with his look from Jimmy's Instagram. Mm-hmm.
Not for a Lord of the Rings related reason.
No. He got more lines in this one, and he had a lot of like pressure on him. Like, I pay a lot of attention to that character. And he's like, this time he got to say a bunch of stuff, and he got really scared, and he tried to like help and whatever. It was like kind of fun. But Bilbo is like the best. But I also felt like there was that moment with Gandalf where Gandalf's like he's like about to confess to Gandalf, like, I have something. And he's like, I found something, my courage. And I was like, that annoys me.
Yes.
Also, like, Gandalf is like a minor god. Like, do you really think he wouldn't think that was a weird thing to say?
Like, Gandhi knows.
I thought that was a weird lie, and I was like,
he has a ring, why would he not know?
Right, like, he should know about this. Like, he would be able to help him, but, you know, I guess that's the evil power of the ring, that you don't want to give it up.
I don't buy that the ring is evil. Like, I just
I was
Bilbo, he's just not serving it to me. Like,
with him, it doesn't read that way. Like, with Frodo, I feel like there was like pure terror surrounding the ring.
And
the stakes were so high. And with Bilbo, I feel like he's like, it gets blurry when I put it on. And I'm like, this is bad. I don't know.
Yeah. And it has nothing to do with the acting. I think it has everything to do with the script and the makeup, because they made Frodo look very bad at times. Like,
like where he was like drained from like the experience.
Dying.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will say, I mean, I feel like the effects of the ring are so hard to convey, like, in a visual medium, like, because it is so much psychological. I was watching, to prep for this, I was watching this with my boyfriend, and he was like, when I was a kid, I, like, just didn't understand why the ring was so powerful. Like, it can't do explosions. It can't do any, like, magic. Like, what's the point of this ring? Which is pretty valid.
That's interesting. Yeah, I feel like for kids, that's it's a much like bigger concept that like you learn.
Yeah, it's like a real moral. Yeah, trying to explain morals to kids. That's interesting. Anywho, back inside the mountain during a long chase, Bilbo and the dwarves rekindle the mountain's forge. I don't know what that means. Using Smaug's flames to create and melt a large golden statue, hoping to bury Smaug alive in the molten gold. They do so, but Smaug emerges from the gold, which I fucking loved. He looked fucking cool.
That was cool when he spun in the sky and he was
I was like, this is for me. He stumbles out of the mountain and he flies off to destroy Lake Town as Biblo watches in horror at the sight of the chaos and goes, what have we done? And then smash cut to black and you're like, you did a lot. You let that fucking dragon go after he was like, I am death. I'm a murderer. And it's like, he's covered in gold. Like, he's feeling himself. He's going to murder everybody. So you did a lot. That's what you did, Bilbo.
It's such an abrupt ending.
This is a very dumb question, because obviously I should know this, especially since we just read that whole thing. But why does he need to get that piece from the gold pile?
That's stone is basically, the stone that he's trying to get is basically a thing that says, like, I'm the Dwarf King. It's a kind of a physical, like, rights thing.
Oh, okay. So if he had that, he has power.
Yeah, if he has that, then the other dwarves would be like, we will listen to you and follow you.
I see. Okay. I liked that whole scene where he's trying to find it and he sees it and he's sneaking around and Smaug can see him. I mean, I thought that was the most exciting part.
Yes.
I did like when he's looking at all the other gems and it just feels like your elementary school trip to like the Natural History Museum where you just see like gems in the gift store.
Yeah, like one of these is probably it, right?
That is funny. I have a question about earlier. How come the elves take the dwarves? Why do the elves hate the dwarves so much?
Middle Earth racism.
So wait, so obviously the wizards are the top tier people, and then underneath that is the wizard, like, the not the wizards, the elves.
They're kind of considered that way just because they're all like immortal and stuff, and also sort of on a similar level, the line of men that Aragorn is descended from. He's from Numenor, which is the region that the TV series is going to focus on, and they're kind of like the human, so they live longer, and then it's normal humans. And it's not that like dwarves are the bottom, but
are there humans in Lakeview too?
Yes, those are all just normal people.
Oh, okay.
And with that, like with the sort of racism within, like that bear guy,
mm-hmm.
he was like, I hate I hate hobbits,
mm-hmm.
but I hate dwarves more or something, and or orcs more.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, you definitely should. Orcs yeah. are disgusting, evil
They're
assholes.
Really gross.
Like, there's kind of no comparison if you're, like, annoyed by hobbits versus, like, something that's literally yeah. built to kill.
Mm-hmm.
But so why would they stay with him? You know what I mean? Like, why would Gandalf set it up? Like, that was something that I was a little confused about. I was like, when they got to that house and then they had to rush inside because the bear was going to eat them. And then Gandalf was like, that's our host. And I was like... Good move. Like, why stay there?
My recollections of the book are not nearly as deadly, where it's just like, oh, it's a bear man and he's fine. But I...
That's more interesting. Yeah. It's like just weird.
Mm-hmm.
And not like a scary... I mean, I liked that scene. I liked how it was kind of intense. But I think like in a book, that's more fun for it to just be like your imagination's like picturing this weird yeah. thing. And then...
The bear man is not as exciting to look at as he is to think about.
So many things are like that.
Unfortunately.
Okay, so now, what are your feelings going into the third one? Are you, like, full of dread?
I'm not full of dread because I liked this one. I was confused by, like, the back end of it, but I paid attention to it a lot. So I'm curious to see. If it picks, it needs to pick up exactly where it left off. Otherwise, I will be so angry.
The flashback at the beginning of this movie is, like, terrible.
It needs to start with Smaug, like, dusting off that gold again.
Yes.
That was so beautiful. But I don't really, I guess I'm just picturing what, so he's going to go destruct the town or something? Or
desolate the town.
Well, I'm not
How
afraid
are you
to
feeling?
Watch it.
You're not afraid to watch it. Okay.
I'm feeling okay. I'm like, there's something that I guess what I kind of like about this franchise compared to doing Star Wars is that it feels like you have more chances to kind of tie things up in a bow than you do a Star Wars. Like mm-hmm. you kind of have to watch all of it to really do that. And with this, you get three, then we'll watch another thing. Like, I feel like it kind of gets broken up a little bit nicely.
I think I agree.
Overall, would you say you guys are having a better time with this series or with the Lord of the Rings?
Oh, I think we like The Hobbit more, but you hated yes. you hated the first one. But now that you like the second one, I feel like we're kind of balanced.
I really did not like the first one. The second one I liked, but I think I'm going to like the third one the most because I think the third one has the story, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, I think this has been kind of interesting because with Star Wars, we tended to like the things that people hate.
Yeah.
And this is happening here too, so I'm not totally shocked that we're
good.
The Hobbit franchise is actually pretty good. Meanwhile, everyone's like, I'm so sorry you have to watch that one. And we're like, we're that like, was the one we liked,
we loved
babe.
It. Yeah.
So this movie grossed, oh no, what a big number. $258,366,855 in North America and $702 million in other countries for a worldwide total of $960 million, blah, blah, blah. So calculating in all expenses, Deadline Hollywood estimated that the film made a profit of $134.1 million, and it's the fourth highest grossing 2013 film. What? Whoa. Fourth highest grossing of 2013? What else came out that?
Yeah, truly. And that's wild.
It grossed $209 million worldwide on its opening weekend.
That's too much.
That's a lot of money.
The film holds a 74% critics rating on Rotten Tomatoes and 85% for the audience score.
That's surprisingly not bad.
People liked it.
Peter Bradshaw of The Guardian scored the film 4 stars out of 5, writing, "It's mysterious and strange, and yet Jackson also effortlessly conjures up that genial quality that distinguishes The Hobbit from the more solemn Rings stories."
Fair.
I'm really surprised it got a good... I thought everyone hated this.
That's what I thought, but I do think Lord of the Rings is a more solemn story, and The Hobbit is... wackier? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's weird. I wish it was like somewhere in the middle of where it is. Anyway, yeah. Mark Hughes, who reviewed the film for Forbes, was highly enthusiastic and felt the Desolation of Smaug was another grand entry in the Tolkien saga, raising the emotional and physical stakes while revealing more of the sinister forces before concluding. It's pleasing to see filmmakers in love with story, this committed to creating entire worlds, and that's a rare thing indeed. And for it to turn out so well, it's even more rare. It's a sight to behold. You won't be sorry you did.
I mean, I appreciate that. I feel like with something like this, it's so funny because even with Star Wars too, like people just like rip into it so hard. And you think about all the effort that goes into making something like this and it's so challenging. And then everyone goes, it sucked.
Yeah.
The New York Post's Lou Luminick, what a name, was extremely negative in his 1.5 out of 4-star review, remarking, "There are probably enough moments to satisfy hardcore fans, but for the rest of us, this amounts to the Middle Earth equivalent of Star Wars Episode II, Attack of the Clones, a space-holding, empty-headed epic.
There's nothing wrong with that movie.
Filled with characters and places, digital and otherwise, that are hard to keep straight, much less care about." I mean, that's honestly true. I actually agree with that. It's felt like you said, like a placeholder. Like, it's kind of just like they're filling time. And I don't know. I guess like it could be so much shorter and it's fine. But at the same time, I'm not that mad about that, I guess.
I think I was kind of trying to make the same point where it's like there are so many dwarves. And I feel like if put under pressure, I could differentiate all of them. But really only like three of them really do anything or matter.
Yeah. Like there's the redhead guy who like is like a sphere and he runs really, really fast at one point. And then there's like the Jimmy Fowley.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And then there's a guy with, like, all their hairstyles are really great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, the Nick Jonas one, truly, I kept confusing for Thorin, the lead one.
Mm-hmm.
And then Balin, I was like, who are you and how did you get so old? Like, was he in the first one?
Yeah.
Which one's that?
The oldest one known to man. He looks like Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Yes, he looks like he's literally in like a Disney Santa movie where like he's secretly Santa, but he works at the post office or something. Yes.
Yeah.
And everyone like doesn't get that he's Santa, even though he looks exactly like him and delivers mail.
Miracle on 34th Street. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. You know what? Okay. By the way, Lifetime is doing like 30 Christmas movies or holiday movies. And I made a sort of loose plan to watch all of them.
Whoa. This is great. This is great.
In what time span?
I kind of was thinking as they air because they're going to be airing them all leading up to Christmas, but it starts kind of soon. And that's the part that stresses me out a little bit.
Uh-huh.
But I was thinking like, I need like things that make me feel joy and like give me a sense of purpose.
Yeah.
And that's my plan is to watch all of those. And I also had a plan to possibly get a Halloween tree in my house that's like orange or black.
Oh, Lord.
My favorite part about this is you said it like it was fully normal and that you weren't going to get any like talk back on it. I'm getting a Halloween tree. It's going to be orange or black.
I'm getting a Halloween tree. Anyway, so the accolades of the film. Look, I had this idea last night and I was on Instagram and I was looking at random vintage things on some account and they had these Halloween ornaments and I was like, well, that's fun, but I wouldn't really want Halloween ornaments on my Christmas tree.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, I guess I need a Halloween tree. And then you search the hashtag on Instagram and there's a lot of them.
Look right now.
You know, they're really like Pinterest people. Like, you know, it's like those types who are making these, and I could be one. I'm not against it, but it's that's like true. The type of,
you could pivot.
You know, yeah, it's like if I had six kids and I was like, every day's a holiday, like, I feel like I'm kind of into it. So I might start doing that as a thing.
Wow, it really is. Wow, 29,000 posts in Halloween tree.
Thank you.
That's so fun.
Most of these are just Christmas trees with Halloween ornaments.
That is the big problem. I Googled this, though, and there are orange trees. Oh, yeah.
Are you going to get a fake one?
Yeah. Yeah, like a fake tree that's orange. It's like tinsel.
I'm here for it.
7 feet tall.
Wow.
And 7 feet tall.
Wow.
But then I got to buy all the ornaments. But see, this is the kind of thing. I like traditions, and so I feel like I would like to take that out every year and put that up. That seems really fun to me.
This is funny because my mom used to have like trees and decoration for every single holiday. And I always was like, when does it happen? And I'm seeing it happen with you right now.
Oh my God. Like what point in your life?
Yeah. And yeah, I'm like, I can't wait till you have like tubs that you take out and you're like, it's Halloween time.
I have tubs. I've had tubs for years. I have a Halloween tub. I have an Easter tub. I have a Christmas tub. This is just like next level. Like you don't understand. Like I love holidays and I always decorate for holidays, but I haven't bought anything new in like a really long time. I have like all these old decorations and now I'm like, oh my God, I can buy new decorations. And that's like a hobby. And that's fun.
Have you talked about this before? Do you have a favorite holiday?
We've never talked about this. I think Christmas for sure, but Halloween's a close second. Look, I already named it, but Easter's on the list. Like, I mean, I can get behind a Thanksgiving decoration, some harvest tableware. I'm not opposed.
I love it. I just found so many orange Christmas trees.
Right?
That they're not that bad, like $150?
No, it's not bad. And I mean, that's you're going to have it for the next 50 years.
Yeah, have it for forever. I'm here for this. I can't wait to see your Halloween tree.
Okay, I'm definitely doing it now that I said it. This was literally decided last night. I was like, I think I want to do this. And then it started filling me with endorphins. And I was like, yes.
You've manifested it.
I love it.
Do either of you care about holidays, like decorating at all or no?
Christmas only.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not a holiday gal. I don't like decorating. And John will get very angry with me. He likes to put up like a giant spider web and a spider for like Halloween. He loves getting candy for the trick-or-treaters. Although I did enjoy the trick-or-treaters this year, one of them walked into my house and looked around and said, I like it here. And I was like, you have to leave. You can't live here. You tiny little bag of bones. You have to go.
Wow. That's a confident child.
I've never lived somewhere where I get trick-or-treaters. Like, I think my house last year got like a couple, but then I just put out a bowl of candy and they took that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I was about to be like, maybe put a note on your door that's like, trick-or-treaters, come on over. But I was like, that is a trap. Like,
well, I realized that I have a welcome mat that says go away as like a joke. And I was like, maybe they thought I was scary or something.
Maybe
I would think that if I was a little kid.
But yeah. This year, replace it with like a little pumpkin mat. And then maybe, well, this year, I don't know. Do you really want little Corona trick-or-treaters?
Yeah, it's optimistic.
I think it's canceled. I saw it on the LA Times. Halloween's a no-go. But I think the next level of my decorations, though, is buying different mats. That's like really next level. Yeah. If I have a Halloween welcome mat that I put out, and then I have a Christmas mat.
My mother did.
Look, it's not out of the realm of possibility, and no, I think it's very sweet.
I love it.
Now I'm going to have to get a storage unit.
I would love if you had a storage unit that you drove to go get your decorations. Like, that is fully next level.
I could see this so clearly. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. I just love it.
Should we read a little bit of trivia?
Yes. Oh, and by the way, well, let's say that the film was nominated for 3 Academy Awards, Best Visual Effects, Best Sound Editing, and Best Sound Mixing. And Benedict Cumberbatch won the Britannia Awards British of the Year Award. And Ian McKellen won the Central Ohio Film Critics Association Award for Best Supporting Actor. That seems really niche.
It's a very niche award show.
He's like, I won an award in Ohio. Like, that for that movie?
Does he
it's
know
like a huge
that he did?
Movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good wild. Question.
I hope he, like, loves that statue and that's the one he's the most proud of.
Aww.
Oh, that would be sweet.
So Stephen Colbert did have a small cameo. I missed it. He plays the eye patch wearing spy, Lakewood spy, who knocks on the door with a walking stick. Mm-hmm. Now I can see that it's
but
him.
But it doesn't look like him.
It's just the no glasses, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Honestly, his glasses are so defining. The only time Legoland blinks is when he realizes he's been wounded and when Thranduil beheads the orc he's interrogating. He never blinks.
Did not clock that.
That's something I would never have known.
Yeah.
It's in keeping with the character and how he was written. In the original Lord of the Rings trilogy, the only time he blinks is when strongly surprised.
Oh, well.
That must have been annoying.
Do you think that's because that's the only time J.R.R. Tolkien mentioned it or like there's some point that I've missed where he was like, this elf never blinks.
It's honestly probably just Tolkien noting it. They're like, so that means he doesn't blink.
Yeah. Or he wrote, he blinks for the first time ever because he was strongly surprised.
Also, his contacts were so insane.
Yeah.
I was like, you didn't have no AccuView? These look wild. They just didn't look real. I was like, I had blue contacts that looked more realistic than those. Which is like saying a lot because they didn't look realistic. The insult Thorin screams in Dwarfish at Thandardal in Khuzald.
Oh, no.
Translates roughly as, oh my God, I dumped my feces on your head?
Wow.
Ew.
Okay.
That's rude.
Oh, I actually was going to ask about the fish, if they were real. Okay. The fish that were dumped in the barrels to hide Bilbo and the dwarves were actually real fish with a few rubber props mixed in. And at one point, Adam Brown, who plays Ori, that's Jimmy Fowley, had 400 pounds of fish dumped directly on top of him, made even worse by the fact that Brown suffers from ichthyophobia, which is a phobia of fish. I'm sorry. Fuck off with that. Don't make him get dumped on then.
That's like one thing. Like, acting is nice and good and like an imaginary job that we're all lucky to be able to do.
Yes.
But like, you could shoot that scene without dumping 400 pounds of fish on a person.
Yeah.
400 is a ton.
That's too much.
Everything's CGI already.
I had to get real fish thrown in my face in the wrong Missy.
Did you? Was that a real fish?
It was, because they were supposed to have fake fish, but then they didn't get it in time.
What?
And so they literally chopped real fish, and then the prop guy was like soaking it in lemons to try to make it not smell bad.
Oh gosh.
And I had fish bones in my hair, and like it was so gross. But then they also CGI'd in like some fins and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So it like
they
looked
more. They could have done that for the whole thing.
It always makes you
did
wonder.
Did they give you like time to prepare, or was it day of? They're like, we only have real fish soaked in lemons that's going to hit you in the face.
He told me the day before, but I thought he was kidding.
Oh my God.
And I also thought when I understood that it was real, I was like, oh, he'll get it by tomorrow. Like, it'll come in time and this will be worked out.
Damn.
And then I just had to do it, you know. But that is the thing. It's like, so this guy, it's way worse for him. He's terrified of fish.
Yes.
And he's getting 400 pounds dumped on him.
And he's in a barrel.
Mm-hmm. And also, literally, there's like 100 elves, like just, or hobbits or whatever. Like, just put another person in there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
You didn't get real spiders.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if they could find spiders that big.
They put him under a microscope.
Where are they going to get them from? I would love to meet the bug wrangler who has giant spiders that are bigger than humans. He's like, meet Carl. He's nice if you feed him people. Yeah, like, the bug wranglers are the most interesting people I think I've ever met.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Most of the women who come out to see Biblo and the dwarves leave Lake Town for Igor. They're actually tall male crew members. They're dressed up as women so they could give proper scale of humans to dwarves and Biblo. You couldn't find any women?
That's interesting. I feel like the only, like, we had women who were dressed as men to be in the army, and they have men dressed as women to play women because they should be tall.
It's
a very fascinating bunch of choices.
Yes.
So Peter Jackson has made a cameo in all the Middle Earth movies to date. And in The Desolation of Smaug, you can spot him at the beginning of the film reprising his Fellowship carrot-chomping role. Mm-hmm. As the camera sweeps through the town of Bree, Jackson walks across the shot, turns to camera, and takes a bite of a carrot. If you've ever wondered why a carrot, sure, I'm wondering right now, he was supposed to be smoking a pipe in the original Fellowship cameo, but on the day he was filming, he felt a little sick, so he picked up a carrot instead. Now, this is the improv I'm talking about.
Nothing has been planned.
He literally goes, I don't feel great. Give me a carrot.
Yes.
Like,
it's so wild.
No rules.
It's like, you made a shot list. Just pick up the fucking pipe. The Desolation of Smaug is the only movie in Peter Jackson's Middle Earth series that does not feature Frodo, Gollum, or L. Ron Hubbard, which means that Gandhi is the only character and Ian McKellen is the only actor to appear in every single Lord of the Rings and Hobbit films. Wow.
I have to go back to that carrot thing because I'm like, okay, you felt a little sick, so you refused to pick up a pipe, and your actor is terrified of fish, and he was like, dump it on him. I don't know how I feel about that.
Good point.
Rude.
Mm-hmm.
Benedict Cumberbatch suggested writing and reading the Necromancer's Black Speech backwards,
you know,
and then having the editors reverse the recording to make it sound demonic and unholy.
You know, that's one of those ideas that, like, nobody ever had to repeat. You know, it's
he
so
suggested it.
Wild.
Like it didn't happen. People have bad ideas all the time. Yes. They're like, here's one thing he suggested.
It's like you're adapting a book for children.
Yeah.
Like, this book is for kids.
It's like he heard that Missy Elliott song one time and he was like, that, let's do that.
That was actually really terrifying to me. I think that would work here.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God. Well, what a blast, as always.
Yeah, again, at the end of this, I'm like, you know what? I think I actually enjoyed this movie.
Same. It's always fun, ultimately.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that.
Karen, do you have anything you want to plug?
No. Well, you can find me on Twitter, I guess, at Karen Y. Han. And I am about to be a new host on the podcast Let's Make a Music, where we take Twitter suggestions and turn them into new songs.
Ooh, cool.
Ooh, congrats. That's
that
fun.
Sounds cool. Nicole, do we want to announce your announcement that you're the new host of Wipeout with John Cena?
I'm hosting Wipeout with John Cena! How wild. I think it will be on TBS in 2021 at some point. I'm really excited.
It's going to be so cool.
Yeah.
And Nailed It. I mean, is Nailed It coming back or you can't say, or what's the story there?
So the email I was sent was, we were going to shoot, then the pandemic hit. We will shoot again when it's safe and good.
Sure. Great. I have a few things that I'm waiting for it to be safe enough. And I sort of feel like that just means another month passes and everyone's like, let's just go.
Yeah,
right? Doesn't it just feel?
That's truly what, because I've known about Wipeout for months and were just like, I guess like waiting to be like, are we going to actually be able to shoot? Which is, nice to wait till things are possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But now, Lauren, I'm so curious about what you are going to tell people in a month.
Oh, God, I know. It could be so exciting or not. I have no idea. So I'm truly living, my life indoors and just podcasting away. So my Patreon and Nicole's Patreon, mm-hmm. go subscribe and help us, keep living in this time.
Yeah.
And, but other than that, I don't really have anything to plug. It's really just the Patreon, I guess. So,
You can plug Good Girls because you get those residuals.
That is true.
The Wrong Missy. Every stream counts. The more streams, the more likely maybe Lauren will be in something else that you'll love.
Thanks. That's true.
Same with Orange is the New Black.
Every once in a while, I get some foreign residuals for Orange is the New Black, and I don't understand how the system works at all.
Me either. I don't think I get any residuals for Netflix.
That's
stuff.
The thing. Like, there'll be these random little...
Oh, I wonder if it's because I think it's a Netflix-produced show, and if they licensed it out overseas to a non-Netflix thing... Because Netflix doesn't, stream there or something. I think then they get money to give you money.
That makes
what
sense.
What a very insider-y discussion.
Well, you know what I love about it for everyone out there at home? It's just another bit of proof that we don't know how we'll get paid or when. So,
yeah, I think people amounts. Think I'm like telling a lie, but every time I get those residuals, I'm like, oh, money.
Exactly. I'm truly like, oh, thank God. Like, it's so amazing.
Because I haven't worked since March.
The real 2020 tenant.
Oh, yeah. God.
It's wild.
So we have our standard segment, the Battle of the Five Stars, where we read 5-star reviews.
Oh.
Now, this one comes from Jakey RS, and the title of the review is We Swears on the Precious That We Loves This Podcast. Now, I'm already mad. I don't know about you.
Because you hate
Gollum. I hate Gollum. Oh. You guys are killing it. I'm loving your new season. True story, I'm not as big of an LOTR fan as Star Wars, but after listening to your latest episode, I just had a dream where I was writing on the back of someone's denim jacket with a Sharpie, crossed out the gray, and wrote the white. I woke up in a cold sweat, terrified that this dream makes me a nerd. Speaking of nerds, the students at UC Irvine back in the 60s or 70s named all their dorms after Middle Earth. You can live in Isengard and eat dinner at Pippin, named after the hobbit who likes to eat. What dorks.
That's
thanks,
wild.
Jakey RS. That's an interesting fact.
Why would you name one dorm after a place and then one dorm after a person and not all after
I agree.
Places?
That's I find that just frustrating.
It is frustrating. I mean, for me, who doesn't understand any of the names in this, I'd be like, I don't know. I'm going to eat out an elf and live in a fucking boat. I don't know.
Well, Karen, thank you so much for being here with us. That was so fun.
Thank you so much for having me on.
You really did help us love it even more than we could have.
And we'll be back next week with the third and final installment of the Hobbit series, The Battle of the Five Armies. See you then. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was a HeadGum Original.